Hello, this is Kenny Williamson, and welcome back to another episode of McKill's Deck Chronicles. How's everybody out there doing today on this lovely, well, here where I'm at, it's a very cold and rainy day here in Arkansas. But I'm sure in other parts of the world, whoever's listening to this has probably got good weather, for all I know. Who knows, with all of the climate change we're having, which induced climate change, I should say. Not natural, induced. But anyway, so I have a couple announcements to make. I mean, I guess an announcement. That is, we are now on YouTube. YouTube has came out, and they have what's called YouTube podcasts. And these podcasts, basically they upload like a regular podcast, and YouTube assigns it a picture. So basically what you're doing is you're watching a video with a static picture, and that is one of the things YouTube does. So I thought that I would try that out and start uploading the podcast to YouTube. Now, after doing that, there has been quite a few views, quite a few listens to the podcasts on YouTube. And one of the things that comes with that is there are lots of comments. So here on the regular podcast, you know, this podcast is out on Apple, Google, it's on iHeartRadio, it's on all of them, okay? And people really don't seem to comment or do much. And, of course, I give my email address out all the time for people to email if they want to comment. But we don't really get very many comments in email. However, on YouTube, I've been getting quite a few very detailed comments. Now, some of these comments are positive and they're thanking me or whoever has been in this podcast. However, we also have lots of negative comments or comments that are, you know, just completely opposite of what you would think. Now, I don't mind these comments, and I've replied to a few of the comments with questions, but obviously on YouTube and anywhere, I guess, you know, people tune in and they may or may not believe the subject or the topic. They may not be Christians. I don't know. And I've noticed that other people reporting this, that, you know, they have a religious-based podcast or YouTube channel, and they get lots of atheists or other people on there. They don't really want to learn anything. All they want to do is argue. So I went ahead and turned the comments on so I could see the comments. And you as a listener, if you want to comment and reply back to them, I mean, you're free to do that, of course. Me personally, I don't want to get into an argument with anybody over this type of stuff. And it's not that I don't want to obviously defend my faith, of course, but I'm going to lean on what the Bible says over here in Titus 3:10, or actually starts at Titus 3:9, where it says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." And then he goes on to say, a man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he is such subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So what I like to think about here is just what this says. I avoid foolish questions and contentions and strivings. And that's what lots of these things are, is they're just foolish. They're not coming to you asking questions because they want to learn and saying, explain this to me, please, or how do I understand this? Instead, they just come at you with, you know, foolish things like, you know, something off the wall. And I can give you an example of that in just a second. And even if you tried to tell them, they would continue to mock Christ. They would mock the Bible. They don't believe in anything that's written down. And so at that point, you know, it says, you know, after the first and second admonition, reject them. So that's what I do, is if they really want to know something and ask a question, I'll be more than happy to explain it, explain why I believe it, look up the verses to prove it. no problem. But if you just want to argue because you're a fool, you know, I can't get into that. I don't have time for that. And, you know, for an example, on one of my podcasts, which was converted to YouTube, it's about biblical narcissists. And I go over different narcissistic traits and all that kind of stuff. Well, one of the comments here, you know, that came across, and now in my podcast, I stated that most narcissists are liars, and they lie very well, and they think of everything, and they cover all their bases, and they've got lots of lies to cover up lies up lies, and it's like if you could peel back an onion all of the layers of lies. And I had made note that lots of narcissists are about on a second or third grade level mentally. I mean, they're not really very smart people, and they make really bad decisions. So in this podcast, I had mentioned that I think the devil is behind lots of these narcissists, and I think he's the father of narcissists because he's the father of lies. So, you know, I had a person make a comment saying, you know, that Lucifer, he says, cannot be the father of narcissists because he was invented by humans. Okay. And this guy, or this person, I don't even know if it was a guy or a girl, but this person goes on to say that, you know, this is all a fake made up lie, the Bible, and goes on to say something to the effect that humans have existed for 250,000 years, and it's only in the last couple thousand years, you know, that they've been able to write and do all this stuff. And so I thought it was pretty interesting that someone would say something like that. You know, if I was a atheist and a evolutionist, you know, and I believe that humans are over 250,000 years old, which I don't. I believe they're about 6,000 years old. I don't know what a person like that would be listening to a biblical thing to begin with. I don't know. You know, and hopefully to learn something, but they don't want to learn. They just want to argue. Now, had I engaged in a conversation about this topic, you know, I mean, it's interesting. I believe in, you know, regular creation. I believe in about a 6,000-year-old earth, just as the Bible describes, that the King James Bible is literal. It's not full of allegory and trying to make things into something that it's not. But if we got on the, you know, even if we threw all that aside and we said, okay, humans have been on earth for 250,000 years, my question to a person like that would be, what on earth have we been doing for 250,000 years? I mean, nothing? I guess for 250,000 years, humans have been sitting somewhere in a cave, I guess, with their thumbs up their behinds, is the only thing I can figure. I mean, what have they been doing? And the reason I would ask that, now, you have to understand, if you're older and you're listening to this, you're really going to understand this. But I'm going to say this to younger people who don't understand this. And like my daughter, for example, she was born, okay, in a time in history when you had automobiles, you have air conditioning, you have cell phones, you have video games, you have everything at your fingertips. So that's the only life she knows. She doesn't understand anything prior to that. Now, I'm not that old. I mean, I'm almost 50 years old. But I remember growing up, I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have any video games. We didn't have air conditioning for a long time. We did have a thing called a water cooler or a swamp cooler. You know, we didn't have a microwave for a long time. It wasn't until I was a teenager that we got a window air conditioner and a microwave. Okay. So, of course, some of our cars that my parents drove had air conditioning, but some of them didn't. And I don't know if they just didn't work or what. But I was going and looked over an interesting list here, and this would be to somebody that's younger, is that do you realize that the iPhone, which so many people use, the iPhone came out in 2007? 2007. So it's only been around about 16 years. Okay? So we've had an iPhone for 16 years. Okay, as far as a cell phone in general, I did a little bit of research, and apparently the first cell phone was invented by Motorola in approximately 1973. Okay, and this particular phone weighed 2.5 pounds. So it was developed in 1973. It weighed 2.5 pounds. It said you could only talk about 30 minutes on it, and it took 10 hours to recharge it. Okay, so after that, roughly in 1989, was the very first flip phone. Okay, so the flip phone came out in 1989 and really got popular in the 90s. So people actually had a phone in their hand, a cell phone, about 34 years ago. Only 34 years. And then the iPhone comes out. It's only been around for 16 years. I mean, I don't know if that blows your mind or not, but it blows my mind. So you believe people have been on the earth for 250,000 years, but we've only had cell phones for about 35 years. Okay? Now think about this. Of course, I know all about heating and air because I've do heating and air for a living in my secular job here. Did you know that Carrier is the first one that came out with air conditioning, and they came out with an air conditioner to cool a building in 1904. Okay, and the research I did said it was to cool on the Missouri State Building, and that was in 1904. Now, that was for a special big commercial deal. In 1932, approximately, okay, to 1947 in that area. So 1932 was when a first air conditioner actually came out that a person could buy and put in their house. But back then, there was no such thing as central heat and air. It was basically a window unit. And according to the research I did, it said by 1947, there was approximately 43,000 units that had been sold to residential customers, which was a version of a window air conditioner. So by 1947, there was approximately 43,000 units out there running out of all the billions of people in the earth. Okay, that was 76 years ago. The thing basically came out where you could start buying it about 119 years ago. But, you know, 76 years ago, window air conditioners started becoming popular. Now, we jump from that to vehicles. And, of course, most people know that a Ford Model T or whatever, was one of the first vehicles out on the road. Well, in 1927, there were 15 million Model T Fords on the road, according to my research. That was roughly 96 years ago. So we've only had vehicles out on the road, let's just say roughly for easy math, 100 years. So, and 100 years ago, these vehicles were literally like, you know, no heat and air, no nothing. You had to crank it in the front to get it to start. These things had wagon wheels on them. These are not like cars of today. You know, it wasn't until the 40s and 50s. I mean, even the 50s, like a 57 Chevy, for example, which is roughly 67 years old. I mean, a 57 Chevy, most older people know what a 57 Chevy is. you know, you could get those with air conditioning special ordered. Okay. And you could get one with fuel injection special ordered, but they weren't very good and there was very few of them made. So up until almost 1960, you know, I mean, these cars didn't even have air conditioning in them. So that's not very long ago. That's 60 some years ago. So somebody like my daughter, for example, she's never ridden in a car without air conditioning. She's never ridden in a car probably without minimum of a CD player. You know, she has no, she doesn't even fathom a vehicle with no heat and air, that has roll-up windows, that's a standard, that has no radio. You know, she can't even fathom that. So, you know, my question would be, again, what has man been doing for the last 250,000 years, okay, when we've only had cars for about 100 years, okay? What have we been doing? You know, we've only had the iPhone for 16 years. I mean, everybody I know has an iPhone, and they think it's just, you know, they're glued to their phones, literally glued to their phones. Well, 16 years ago, you wouldn't have been because it didn't exist. So if man has been around all this time, why have we only got these things in the last few years? That would be a question of mine. Now, I have a theory on that, and my theory is, of course, we're going to go over to the Bible here, and we're going to go to Revelation 11, and it's talking about the two witnesses, okay? These two witnesses are alive and preaching during Jacob's trouble, or the seven-year tribulation, whatever you want to call it. Bible refers to it as Jacob's trouble. Some people refer to it, you know, as the tribulation, even though tribulation is a description of what it is, but it's not the title. Okay, so anyway, so these guys are going along, the two witnesses. Okay, and basically the beast comes up out of the bottomless pit, makes war with them, and kills them. Okay, and it says that their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, whatever. Okay, so here's the interesting part. It says, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations will see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And it goes on to say that they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets that tormented them, basically they're dead now. So the key phrase here is that all these people all over the whole earth are going to see their dead bodies for 3 days. So now, when this was written, okay, many, many thousands of years ago, the question would be, if you told somebody 3,000 years ago, listen, somebody's going to kill these two guys, and the whole entire world, every nation, is going to see it, and they're going to see them lay there, and then, when it's all said and done, these same people are going to see these guys resurrected and go back up into heaven, and they're all going to be scared. People, I mean, your question would be, how is anybody going to see these people over here in Jerusalem somewhere in the middle of nowhere in the desert? They get knocked down dead. How are we going to see that? I mean, how's anybody even going to know it? The information might take months to get back under normal circumstances back then. But see, now it would be probably live streamed. So when these people get killed in the future, there's going to be people standing around with their trusty iPhones out, and they're going to be live streaming this whole thing. It's going to be on every news channel in the world live. But when this was written, that kind of technology didn't exist, and nobody could even understand what this meant. But see, in order for this prophecy to take place and to be true, which it's in the Bible, so it's true, it's coming, the technology has to be in place for this to happen. You see what I'm saying? So let's pretend, which we didn't, but let's just pretend we had been here for 250,000 years. But we can knock that down to 6,000 years. in the last 6,000 years, even in the last, 30 years, we've had a cell phone. The last 16 years, we've had an iPhone. Okay, so in other words, out of the last 6,000 years, we're going to have to get down to a point where we have the technology for this prophecy to come true. Okay, now with YouTube, the internet, iPhones, TikTok, Instagram, and all these different social media platforms, this can come true now. Even a couple of hundred years, this couldn't have came true because they didn't have your live, it was back in World War II, I think, when Hitler, Germany sent out some type of, radio waves documenting the Olympics or something, and it actually went out past Germany, and it was the first time something was actually broadcast over the world, and it was, really sketchy and scratchy and horrible. And that was, that wasn't that long ago. That was in the 40s. So we haven't had the technology that long for somebody to watch these people get killed and sit there and rejoice all over the whole world. But we have the technology now. So I believe that the reason this technology has ramped up in the last 100 years from going from basically nothing to having, computers on your desktop, just like me here. I've got sound recording equipment. We can live stream. We can do all kinds of stuff now just with a push of a button. That has to be in place for these prophecies to come true. Now, having said that, if I'm correct on that, that is the case, we're probably getting pretty close to the end. Because, see, we've got several pieces of technology that the Bible mentions, like the mark of the beast, and it talks about you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Okay, well, buying and selling over the whole world is going to be pretty hard to control with, if you're talking about technology from 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, or either technology from 300 years ago, 200 years ago, they couldn't do it. There's no way 200 years ago, a shopping mall in some other country or a shopping mall in some other state is going to know anything. They're not interconnected. But today, they're all connected with credit cards and, they're all on the internet. And basically, if you didn't have any hard currency like cash money, if you had no silver or gold or cash and everything you have is in the bank on a credit card and they shut your credit card off, you can no longer buy or sell. That's what it boils down to. So we have the technology now, of course, to implement the mark of the beast. It's here. All they've got to do is turn it on. So we've now got the technology for that prophecy in Revelation. They've got the technology for the two witnesses in Revelation. And just to kind of throw this out here, if you don't know, Revelation is the final book in the Bible. And after the tribulation time that these different things happen in, that's when Christ returns and the Battle of Armageddon takes place. And it's all over. So if we have the technology and we continue to go on like I think we will, we're very close to those end times right now. That tribulation time or Jacob's trouble is probably right around the corner. So if that's the case, there is no time like the present to get saved. There is no time like the present because you never know if you have the time to spare. All you are is one heartbeat away from wherever you're going to spend eternity. So, I think you'd rather spend it in heaven than hell. So, get saved while you can before it's too late. Anyway, having said that, I hope something in this podcast helped you. Hope you enjoyed it. Like I was saying, if you are tuning into this, again, we have YouTube now. So if you are listening to this on YouTube, I pray that you like it. And if you do, you know, give it the thumbs up, give it the like. You can subscribe. And all that makes it, I guess, come up to other people so they can find it easier. So thanks for checking us out. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you have any regular questions you'd like to, you know, address to the show or whatever, you can give us an email at truthseekers2012@gmail.com. So, you know, don't hesitate to send us an email and ask questions or suggest something or just whatever you want or just talk. We're here to help you. So thanks again for listening, and God bless you.